Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Thinking of a scripture that says that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Makes me to think that if there's not a level of persecution, I'd have to challenge how godly we're living or how assertive we're being with it, because it's a natural response of the world is to oppose godliness. The world really don't care. The devil don't care if you walk around with a Jesus hat on, or they don't get stirred up if you put Jesus on your bumper stickers. It don't mean much, and so it doesn't affect much. But if you dare to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution for it. You're going to have to be willing. You're going to have to be willing. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to be willing to know that there's going to be an opposition against you. You're going to have to accept it. I really thank God for the accurate depiction of the scriptures. It doesn't try to sugarcoat a life of living for God, because living for God has an enormous benefit to it. But it also brings a measure of uncomfortableness in this life, if you live it right. Our vice president, Pence, I'm not saying he holds the same standards we do, but he's a man that cares about godly things. And because he cares about godly things, he's feared by a lot of people that he would ever come into power, because they don't really, you know, this amazes me. You can go to D.C. and whether it's for political reasons or just because they was raised that way, there's a lot of religious people. People that would say that they are religious. They're Catholics. There's a number of religious people. And as long as they don't do anything with it, as long as they leave it as a title of their life, nobody cares. But if someone comes along that dares to live godly, if they live godly in Christ, they suffer persecution for it. There's somebody not going to like that very much. I heard recently that Mike Pence's wife was really being ridiculed because she took a job in a Christian school. Well, that's really something to get stirred up about. With all the bad stuff that's going on out there in the world, with all of the people dying of overdoses and the murder rates in Chicago, and all the things that you could get stirred up about, things that's going on in this world, that surely would be one of them that would be high up there, isn't it? I'm saying it sarcastically. The woman would take a job in a Christian school. But why was it a stir? You can say you're Christian. You can do religious things, but dare to step out and be different. Dare to let your godliness be seen. Dare to go on beyond that, and you're going to suffer persecution. So I want to say right off the bat for this little message that if you're interested in serving the Lord right, and you're interested in being godly, there's going to be a measure of persecution that you're going to have to accept that comes along with that, just because that's the battle that we're in. Jesus could have come as a religious person. Many people were religious, and nobody would have cared. But when he started the in-depths of loving your brother, when he come with the intensity of righteous life, I say unto you, you've heard it of old time, that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. What? Or you've heard of old, you've heard of before in the old law, you've heard thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you come with something else here. You committed adultery already. Went to a higher level of it. People don't care that you go to church. People ain't going to make no difference. But when you start suggesting by your life that their life is subpar, you're going to get persecution from that. When you suggest that you can live higher than people are living, they're not going to like it. But it's our duty to live godly. It's our duty to be a witness for God. It's what we're here for. We're His ambassadors. We are to be the witnesses of Christ because He's not here. He's got a body here to perform the things that He would perform. He wants us to be here to be able to make that witness. And it's going to cause some persecution for sure when you begin to live godly before people in their life. And when you go and suggest by their life, really, I'll be honest with you, just living it will do it. We rarely have to say anything. People come to us, come up to us quite often and say, hey, where do you go to church at? I didn't say I went to church anywhere. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even talking to them. I wasn't even saying anything. Oh, where do you go to church at? Well, I didn't say I went to church. How do you know? How would they not know? That's what we want to, what we're suggesting today is my message to you today. God wants you to be a witness for His existence. He wants you to be a witness of the plan of salvation that He made. He wants you to be a witness for what a person has been and can be. He wants you to be a witness of the change that happens in salvation. He wants that to be a witness that God is real and it's not just something out there as the religious world looks at it, but God makes a difference in our lives. God's real enough for us to make it makes a difference in our lives. Not just as some idea out there, but I don't go where I used to go. I don't say what I used to say. I don't act the way I used to act. I don't have the same desires that I used to have. I don't have the same ambitions that I used to have. Because there's something else that I'm trying to testify about. And it's not just about this life. It's about a God that exists. And He wants us to be witnesses of that existence. So there is an acceptance right off that people's not going to accept us at face value. There's going to be some persecution. But you know what I've found in my life for your encouragement? Most of the time that the biggest persecutors of my life have been the ones closest to the door of salvation. They're fighting it. Many times they're coming against it most because of something that's stirring within them. They recognize something. And if you'll be patient and wait for the Lord, in many cases, that person that was such a persecution to you will be the one that'll call for prayer, or be the one that'll acknowledge that you've got something that I don't have. I want to look at a scripture in Hebrews. What we do in our lives is important. The witness that we make. I'll say this, every time in a public setting that you bow your head and offer a prayer in public is a valuable witness. You might not think it's saying much, and you might not have deep and inspiring words. But every time you bow your head in public, you're saying to the public that you're acknowledging one that's above us all. You're acknowledging the existence of one in your life that you want to stop for a moment and give thanks to. That is a great witness. It may seem simple, but it's a great witness. When we behave ourselves in a Christian manner, and there'll be some times that we'll just have to say, you know, be honest with you, people don't care. People don't care. People ain't offended that much by religion. They don't care that much about it. I mean, I could foresee a conversation going along. Somebody says, so you're a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Let's go have a beer and we'll talk about it. Nobody cares. It doesn't mean anything. But when you say that, I'm a Christian. Well, what's it done for you? It's changed the way I do things. It's changed my life. Well, let's go watch this movie. I don't go watch that movie. Well, why wouldn't you do that? I got higher thoughts than that. I don't put that in my mind. I don't want that to be what my mind's on. That's why I got a different way of doing things. And, oh, well, that's awful of you to suggest that what I'm about to do is awful. Well, I didn't mean to do it. It's just that I can't help from doing it. I want my mind to be better than that. I don't want to sit around with my family and fill their minds with that kind of stuff. I don't want to do it. I don't want them to have it in there. We was in Walmart a couple weeks ago, and there was a man and, I'm assuming, wife and three children. And I tell you what they were, genders. I know what the little ones were, but I don't know what the big one was. And they had a total meltdown right there in the Walmart. This guy's like, I'll tell you, make it quit that. He or her or whatever, he wasn't paying no attention to what daddy was saying. It's like messing with stuff. And it was total chaos over there. Well, I ain't saying or insinuating that my children are perfect in any sense, because they're not. They got too much of their daddy in them to be like that. But I don't want my life like that. I don't want that kind of life. So I want to witness something that's better than that. You can have better than that. We're witnesses for the Lord in these kind of things. It's why we do and why it's important to do that. Modesty is always an issue. It's a biblical doctrine. Modesty. I don't know where it fits in every culture since the world's began, but I know it's an important thing to suggest that we have more of a heart and mind for internal and eternal things than to put it on the flesh. And it's a suggestion that there is a God that's bigger than we are. And we're okay with that, and it's a higher level. And so we witness to that. And it's not what you think it is. I've had so many people that have said to me, well, one of them recently, I went to a place of business, and the guy said, what are you wearing? It was a sunny, warm day. What are you wearing them long sleeves for? You're burning up. He said, I couldn't take that at all. Well, my response was, well, I'm tougher than you are. Obviously, if you can't take it, I'm tougher than you are. Get tough. Toughen up a little bit. That's not really the bottom line of it, of course. It's not the bottom line of it. Here's the bottom line of it. You can go out to Oklahoma in a 100-plus degree day and go to a rodeo, and all the cowboys, by design, wear long-sleeve shirts. Hot long-sleeve shirts, I would assume. But cowboys are tougher than the rest of the people are. Well, not really. But nobody persecutes cowboys and says, well, they're hard, how do you stand that and all that? Because there's no inherently righteous reason for doing it. They do it because that's the costume of a cowboy. You can see pictures of Washington, D.C. in 100 plus degrees, and the dignitaries come out there in black three-piece suits. And nobody persecutes them for it. Well, you must be all, what'd you wear that suit for? No, this is protocol. This is what people do. It's what the cowboys do. A lot of loggers used to do it. A lot of farmers used to do it. Why? Because there was a lot of scratching and irritation and things of the eye. It's what they did, and nobody gets persecuted for it. But dare say, I want to be righteous. I want to cover myself to the point of utility. I don't want to show anymore because I care about things. Go dare to do that in their persecution with it. I'm only using that as an example, and I'm not making it over than what it is. It's not salvation. It's a standard. But Lord, help us to be a witness because people notice that. And what it's saying is that I have a heart more for God. God is real. God can help you. This is important to me to take care of the details of my life. You might not like the sleeves, but you'll sure, if you deal with me, you'll sure like the fact that I wouldn't cheat you for nothing. You'll sure like the fact that I'd do anything to help you and I would do and love you and help you. That's what we want to present out there. Lord, help us. In Hebrews 12, to get Hebrews 12 and 1, I'm going to read Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. That wherefore is the conclusion of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews is the faith chapter, and it goes through the line of men and women, people that live for God. Abel, who offered a more righteous sacrifice. Abraham, who left everything and followed God. Noah, who I should have put before Abraham. Noah, who had faith in at the saving of his family. He built an ark. Abraham, who left a land and family and sojourned in the land of promise with Isaac and Jacob and Moses, who when he come of age refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Amazing. What integrity? What strength of character? He was high up there and he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. But rather chose to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Imagine what a testimony of his time. What a witness for his day and time. And the list in Hebrews 11 went on and it mentioned people after persons who in great adversity and places made a witness, stirred the world, made a witness that God is real. Nobody in Egypt would have cared if he had just had a mind off somewhere and went ahead to the party and enjoying the sin. But no, it was different than that. Right, you go right down through the whole list. I believe that this cloud of witnesses, you know, you think of a dust cloud. A cloud, by definition, is made up of individual particles. it's made up of something that makes it up. This cloud of witnesses, it's not an individual. It's all that have been. It's the whole big thing. And I think the cloud still gets bigger. I hope it's still getting bigger. It got bigger in my lifetime with Brother Sammons and Brother Jim and those Sister Sammons and those Brother Mack and those ones that went before, and I could name them on and on from, and they got, the list keeps getting bigger. The witnessing power keeps getting bigger. But I want to say something. Moses was just a man. Understand what I'm saying? He was just a man. He isn't smarter, bigger, better. He didn't have a better time. He was just a man. Abraham was just a man. These people that was made up this cloud, I like to think that come right on through the Old Testament, right to the New Testament. I think that Paul and Peter and those early morning martyrs and those people, I think they made up the cloud that's still being made, a great cloud of witnesses. They're foreseeing this. We have such a cloud of witnesses to encourage us that, look, they were just men. They were just men, just like you are. What's the scripture in James that says of talking about Elijah, that he was a man of like passions as we are? What like passions was? That meant that he got afraid? Do you remember Elijah went after the deal when he went to the cave? It meant that he had fears sometimes. Sometimes he wanted to back up from the persecution that was coming. It was natural to do it. It was natural to say, where am I going to eat next meal from? He was a man of like passions. It meant that he feared. He lost his courage at times. It meant that he had strong times and weak times. And he had like passion. Just like you and I do. And you know, all of these men were just men. Is it just like you and I are? And yet they witnessed the great witness. They held on to a witness that God is real. In our day and time, there's a lot of religion out there. But to be honest with you, true religion is really low. People that really are willing to make a life's change, a life's different because of God is very, very low. To be able to really establish something and say, I'm willing to give this up because of God. People don't do it because they don't really believe God. But I'm really willing to give this up in my life because of God. How about our own lives? I'm going to just challenge you now. But your own life. I'll be honest with you, there was a time where I fasted and prayed a lot more than I do. But I have to extend that out. If I don't really believe, why would I give up food? That's kind of a hard thing to do. Everybody likes to eat. It's hard to do unless you really believe something. It's really hard to make a life change unless you really believe something. It's hard to want to suffer the persecution. If we're not careful, folks, we want to run right along the border of being as close to the world as we can to get rid of our persecution. If I can run right along the line, you're close enough to, I don't look like a Christian, or I ain't making no radical decision, so somebody will say, what are you doing? Why didn't you do such and such? Why didn't you do? If I can stay on that line, I can tiptoe through, bounce my way through any kind of persecution. True. But you tiptoe through witness for the Lord. And don't really make it. You don't really, really make the witness. Therefore, because of this great category of witnesses that you could categorize, he went on to say of Samson and Jephthah and David, Samuel, of all of these who subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women, who? Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Think of the power of that. Think of where you're at today. Think of this. Deliverance was there. And all they had to do is step into the deliverance and step out of the trouble, and they said, no. I'm not stepping out. I want a better resurrection. I'm going to give this to God. He's given me the right to step out, and I'm going to stay right here and say to the Lord, Lord, you have your way. And if I know you said to make my choice, but I'm turning and saying and giving you, Lord, I'm going to let you choose. David one time was given the choice. They said, you can accept, you can pick your punishments. Remember? And David said, Lord, make the choice. I'll accept you. You make the choice. I want your will be done in it. That's the essence of this. I can step out of this, but I'd rather have a better resurrection. The world looks on and says, what fools? What fools? That's ridiculous. Step out. Get out of that. No. I want to have a better resurrection. The great cloud of witnesses, therefore seeing we also are compassed about with ones that were sawn asunder and all of these things, the persecutions that come into their life. Ever since the beginning of time, it happened, I say, it happened with the children of Israel. The children of Israel had one doctrine that really irritated the whole lands around them. They couldn't hardly have a league or an agreement or a alliance with the kingdoms around them because they had a doctrinal belief that kept them from it. And the doctrinal belief is that there's only one true God. Everybody else would say, we worship Baal. Well, we worship Asherah. Well, that's fine. They're buddies up there somewhere. We'll all get along fine. I didn't say Baal didn't exist, and they didn't say us. Well, that's fine. We'll all get along together. And as the Greeks had their gods, the Romans had their gods, Apollos and all those, and they had Neptune, all their gods of mythology had all that, and they were fine with that. And if you come along and said, did you ever hear of the Jesus God? They would have said, never heard of him. Who's he? Well, he's another God with these gods. You'd have been fine. But what the Christians would not do, they couldn't do. Jesus proclaimed, I am the door. If any man enter in, it's through the door. There is no other way than this through the door. And when you come along and you start saying things like, Lord help us, it's true. There's only one church in the scriptures. I ain't making this up. You look it up. There's only one church in the scriptures. One church, one faith, one God. There's only one. I ain't saying who's in it and not. It ain't my business, but there's only one. You want to talk about persecution? When you come along and say there's only one church, what? There's only one. There's only one. Don't make no difference. There's still only one. There's still only one God. There's only one faith. There's only one church. You're born into that church through the blood of Jesus. It's the only way to get there. Us writing your name down don't get you there. Us taking it off don't take you out. There's one church and that's all there is. Scripturally, if you live godly in Christ and you have to deny the idea of the multitudes of churches, it's going to cause persecution. If you live godly, it's going to cause persecution. But God will bless. And there's a great cloud of witnesses that have went through this and said, there is but one God. There is but one true God. Many of them had to stop mouths of lions and had to do this. But that was the truth of it. We are supposed to be God's witnesses on this earth. And so as the duty falls on us, it should be our heart to say, Lord, what's the best witness that I can have? There has been a time, there is times and places. Paul said that I do all things, I become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. Didn't matter. Whatever makes me the best witness. If I was going into a place to where they believed that it was sissy-ish and effeminate, not for a man not to have a beard, and I could never get witness to them till I had one, I'd grow one. Why not? It's the best witness I could have. If I went to another place to where they thought it was burly and unkept and they wouldn't listen to me if I had one, I'd shave it off. Why not? If I got to get an audience, that's what I'd do. There's things that goes outside the lines of righteousness, of course, but there's things with very well within the bounds that I would be the best witness that I can be. To be able to express that. That's why the scripture says what it did about modesty. It was the fact that you're not a, used women, you're women, you women are not women that are trying to chase the world, and we all know it. You women that's not trying to make yourself an available looking person, but you're somebody that's professing godliness. You're somebody that you can look at and say they care more about God. They care about right things. You girls get a lot of persecution more than us guys do because you're more obvious about religion than we are in your dress. In many cases, you can get things said about it. But it's a great witness. When I go along with my family, and mainly a family of girls, what a great witness they are. They're going along, and everybody that goes along with me knows these people here are religious. They don't know my heart. Of course, they look at the outward appearance, but they look and say they're church-going people. Look at them. They're orderly. They present themselves in a certain way. It's all the witness of Christ. And because there's a great witness, therefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I go back again and talk about the ones that went before us. Faithful, godly people that went before us. I thank God for their witness. And the power that they had in their lives. And the witness was growing. And I got that cloud of witnesses. Therefore, seeing that great cloud of witnesses, let us jump in. I look at it sometimes and can almost be discouraged when I look at people that had such a power in their lives. It seemed like Daniel didn't have any doubt at all that he was going to go and swing that door open and just give it to the Lord, didn't it? Just seemed like those windows, he just flew them open and just like he did a four. It seemed that way, but I want to tell you, Daniel was a man. Just like us. And wherever he got to, we can get to. Paul was a great writer of the New Testament. Good section of it. Man of God, no doubt. A giant in the faith. No doubt about it. God used him mightily to the Gentiles. He was a man of like passion. He was a man that had the same kind of attitudes and things that we had. How can I ever rise up to be what God wants me to be and be an example and be a witness? I'm going to tell you how I can do it. The same way Paul did. By the grace of God. Every one of us has got the same. How can I do that? By the grace of God, folks. By the grace of God, that's the secret to it all. By the grace of God, you and I can be the witnesses for our day and time of what God would want us to. It's 2019. The world's getting crazy. Way out there, they had a thing on the news this morning. They're fighting where these groups were taking field trips from school to the Ark down there in Kentucky. They had a big Ark display. Some of us have been down there. They're fighting that in court, going to fight that in court, saying that that's unconstitutional to use the public buses. I mean, use the public's bus, the school buses, to bus them to a religious symbol like the Ark. I heard that and said, well, now that's a mountain worth dying on there. Go and try to get them children a little bit of good understanding about righteousness, and you'd want that stopped for sure. Why are they trying to stop everything? They're challenged because if you go to the Ark and believe that, ain't going to be long you're going to believe them old Ten Commandments. Uh-oh. It'd be awful to get that instilled into our children so you wouldn't have to hide your stuff from them so they wouldn't steal it. Or so you wouldn't have to worry about how they ended up in life and lying and cheating and stealing. Lord, help us. We live in that kind of world today that's fighting anything that is reality. They don't care so much about I can be just a religious person or a name on something. He belonged to something. But you dare to step out and present it and say what it is. It's going to be a challenge. I want to encourage us all today to have the mind to be a witness for the Lord. To be a witness, to do what we can. And of course, you know I ain't talking about being obnoxious of some way or being arrogant or overboard or being demanding or nothing like that. I ain't talking about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Being able to present ourselves as a witness without talking. There was an old... I heard a guy say one time, there was an old story, it was about Billy Graham, and I know much about Billy Graham. I've listened to some of his messages, and some of them are pretty good, but I don't know much about his life. But I know there was a story told about him one time, said this guy got an invitation, going to go golfing with Billy Graham. Well, he golfed all day with Billy Graham, and they asked him, said they knew Billy Graham to be a very gracious man. So when they got through, they asked this guy, well, how did your day go? And he said, it was awful. Said, I'll never do that again. Said, I'd never go golfing with that man again. Well, they were shocked. And said, well, you know, he's always a gracious man. Why did you do that? Said he preached at me all day. Well, what did he say? He didn't say anything. He just preached at me all day. Well, that's the kind of preaching. That's the kind of preaching we need to do. Me and my family one time went to a Cracker Barrel for a Christmas breakfast, and we was having fun and enjoying things, and there's witnesses here to tell you that the people around there in the Cracker Barrel started wanting to join in to us. They wanted to start talking in our conversations and kind of going in. People need stuff, folks. People need things in their lives. Linda was telling the story about going to town here last week and them laughing and there was a girl there, a woman there that wanted to be there and laugh with them. You all was there. I don't know, but she was touched by something. It was something that people need something. If you just go along and never witness it, oh, you'll be persecuted. But there is also people out there that's going to wonder, how can you be persecuted and still be happy? How can you be like, and what is the secret of this? It's the grace of God. Therefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at a scripture in 2 Corinthians, in closing, 2 Corinthians 12. Sometimes the Lord chooses events to touch people's hearts. People that He's wanting to deal with. If you're here today and you have a burden for your family, you want to see them saved, or a burden for neighbors or whatever it is, a lot of times the Lord has chosen events to bring things to pass to them. It takes something. It takes a jarring, sometimes shaking. It takes a movement of some way to get people to that kind of a place. Us being faithful to God through these things are the key many times to to the outcome of that. God's going to allow things. God's a merciful God. He loves more than you do. Well, sure he does. And so sometimes he allows things to happen in life, and people looking on wants to know, is this real or isn't it real? And as we go through and witness these things, you see the power of them. I say Moses' witness was outstanding when he gave up so much. Understand what I'm saying? I ain't got much to give up. You won't be fascinated by me. I ain't got nothing to give up. But Moses had a lot to give up, and because he gave up so much, it's outstanding. But God will allow events to happen in our life. Just here in 2 Corinthians 12. 6th verse says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above my measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above my measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And it always will be. It always will be. And in the times that we're challenged with the things, the circumstances that happen, many times it's the grace that we demonstrate in the middle of it. It isn't the fact that we don't have troubles that affects people's lives. It's the fact that we have troubles and with such grace and power go through them. When somebody can look on and see somebody that can rejoice in the middle of their problem, they're going to wonder what that is. I ain't saying make it up. I ain't saying pretend like you got it when you don't and then go bawl your eyes out when you get through. I ain't talking about any kind of facades or fakes. I'm talking about the grace of God. I'm talking about a power that you can have in life that can really give you joy in the middle of things. Something to give you courage in the middle of the things. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I'm not going to remove it. But people are going to look on and see your thorn in the flesh, and they're going to know why you want to know why you're rejoicing. And then what he's going to say about it is because I'm made strong in this by his grace. I have an extra abundance of God's grace because of this. It's a powerful place. So when the incidences come into life, now, you all knew, not everybody here knew her, but most of you knew Sister Rose Salmon. I lived here with her in this congregation for a number of years, knew her as a sweet lady. I think everybody would say Rose was a sweet person. She seemed to be a kind and a mild person. She had all that, but I'll be honest with you, one thing I wouldn't have put on her was a spiritual giant. I mean, be honest with you, I wouldn't have put on her an overachiever or overdoer or a spiritual giant. But she got to be one. Because when she dying of cancer, she become one of the sweetest perfected people you would ever see, with grace. Powerful, powerful grace. In the middle of it, the Lord took her pain. He gave her a grace to smile with and to look to heaven with. It was up above. And look and say, I would have called Brother Salmons a giant or Brother Jim, but I wouldn't have called her one. She may have got bigger than all of them by the end of it, because in that place of need, the power of her witness was incredible. There was people coming in to care for her, and they had told me at one point they actually wanted to do a scientific study on her because the kind of disease that she had that went into the bones and was popping her bones, she should have been in a pain that was incredibly more than anything, and she had almost none. And they wanted to know why. Well, we knew why, because when they had called for prayer, we would pray, and the Lord was faithful, and the Lord gave her something, a grace. A grace that's sufficient Well, you may say, I don't know about that. Well, I'm going to tell you about that way. It's God. And it suggests of people that there is a living God. Anybody can have a dead God. Anybody can have an idol somewhere that neither handles or walks or moves or does anything. But if you want to believe in a living God, at some point you believe in Him and what He can do. And He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So, Lord, help us to be willing to stretch ourselves. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be at in this? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, I'm going to take the scriptures as true, even though that seems exaggerating to me. I'm going to say Paul was saying it exactly right. He don't do like us humans was doing in the scriptures. He said, most gladly. Can you say most gladly? In the middle of your thorns in the flesh? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly will I take this. This will be a joy to me to take this thorn in the flesh, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. In our day and time, the Lord wants a witness from our lives. It's not only, I know it's for the outreach of the world. And God wants to show mercy and outreach to everybody. But it reminds me of the old story of the guy that had told the Lord that he was going to witness for him, I think it was. Anyway, he stayed out every day. He was out on the streets witnessing for the Lord 30 years or something like that. And finally a guy comes up to him and said, you've been out here every day for 30 years and you've never changed one person's mind. And he said, that's true. But they haven't changed my mind either. Now say this, witnessing is for to show the world. But it is also to maintain ourselves. It is to keep ourselves in the Lord where we need. The Lord wants us to be witnesses in everything we say and do. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't always done it right. There's been times that I've even prayed, Lord, help what I've done not to be a hindrance to anybody. You ever pray that way? Lord, I feel like I messed up. And it's very likely that someone could be affected by that eternally. Lord, don't allow them to be hurt by my inadequacy and help me to be better than that. Help me to have a better witness than that. And so, because there is more grace than I just showed. I wasn't on top of it. Lord, help us to be a good example and a witness to the people around it. And you'll be surprised how many people out there need the Lord. Well, we know they do. They all do. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.